In this time of social distancing and staying apart, it's important for us to pull together. Pulling together is doing things for others we should have been doing all along. But this time, from a distance. Wear a mask, wash your hands, clean and disinfect.
Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. Yep, that's right. I'm Michael Slate, and the people singing that song are not, although they could be.
I want to let people know that the following show was recorded last week, before Saturday, November 7th, when all of the major media in the U.S. recognized that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had won the presidential election, defeating Donald Trump. That's it. A lot of cheers right now. You're entitled, okay? People feel that a heavy rock has been lifted off their neck. They can breathe and hope. Of this, there can be no doubt. But Donald Trump is not admitting defeat. He's rallying his fanatical followers and using the courts that he has packed with fascists to try to steal the election. Since the defeat of Trump in the election, the situation has become more alarming in many ways. Not only Trump, but almost every Republican representative in Congress and many other officials in the Republican Party has echoed his lies that the election was fraudulent. The efforts to ignore the results of this election and somehow install Trump as president have been picking up speed. Trump is carrying out a series of firings, appointments, and transfers that are reshaping the civilian leadership of the military. He is moving fascist supporters loyal to himself into key positions in the Pentagon and the national security apparatus. The Attorney General, Bill Barr, another fascist Trump loyalist, is mobilizing the Justice Department to attack the integrity of the elections, something that has never been attempted in the 232 years since George Washington became the first president. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is urging people to stay calm and trust the system, the very same system that Trump is transforming into an apparatus of fascist rule hour by hour. All this makes the message of the two guests on this show more relevant. The people need to intervene, as they did in the spring and summer, as they protested police murder of people of color. Those who took to the streets all over the U.S. need to return to the streets. Trump is not a normal president. This was not a normal election, and we're not going to see a normal transition, a peaceful transfer of power from one elected official to another. Simply relying on the normal channels, workings, and institutions may well be disastrous. Much of what I'm saying here is from a new statement posted by RevCom.us. That's RevCom.us. RevCom.us. Go there and read it. Follow Refuse Fascism on social media. The username is @RefuseFascism. There will be a nationwide mass protest Saturday, November 14th. Find an action in your area at RefuseFascism.org. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
And I want to tell you that we have a packed show for you today. At the back end of the show, we're going to be talking with Carl Dix from the Revolutionary Communist Party and Refuse Fascism. And we are talking with Carl. We're going to be talking with Carl about what's happening, what's developing in society, where it needs to go, what we need to be thinking about and doing in the face of all this. All right. But before that, I'm really pleased to be talking to Ashley Dawson. And Ashley is, you know, it's interesting because I ran across Ashley, I guess it was a magazine. Ashley's a professor of post-colonial studies at City University of New York, and he has a hell of a lot to say, and you need to listen to it. So without any further ado, let's jump into Ashley Dawson now. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Ashley Dawson. And it's I read a piece that he wrote, and I thought, damn, I've got to have this brother on the show to talk about what he's talking about all across the world. Ashley is a professor of post-colonial studies at the City University of New York. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Michael. Good to be with you.
Yeah, great, man. Well, let's jump into this because there's so much going on, and there's so much that, you know, it seems every time you turn around, you're finding something worse developing in the society and in what's happening in the world. And so I wanted to talk with you because you've written an article that really in The Guardian that really sort of grabbed me. And it's an article where you You wrote that Trump may try to steal the election that's coming up, and we need to start preparing for that now. What are the signs of this? I mean, what are you talking about, and what are the signs of this?
Sure, Michael. Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is that as someone who writes opinion pieces, you have to know that you never get to choose the title. I, in fact, didn't write that title. My chosen title was How to Stop a Trump Coup. And unfortunately, the Guardian folks changed it to Trump may try to steal the election. And, you know, when it was published, of course, he was already stealing the election, right? You know, he was engaging in all sorts of lies consistently. He was intimidating people, you know, by telling Proud Boys and other far-right thugs to go to the poll stations and make sure that there were no improprieties, which basically translates into, you know, scaring people from voting. So all of that went down and had been going on for many months prior to the election, and of course builds on Trump's much longer history of attacking democracy. You know, I'm sure you'll remember that he was one of the main protagonists behind the whole whacked-out birther conspiracy theory that, you know, Obama, President Obama, wasn't actually born in the United States. So, you know, he for a long time has been spreading misinformation and explicit racism, and all of that was really ramping up in the days and months prior to the election we've just had this week. And of course, you know, we see it unfolding every day, every hour since the election has taken place, with Trump, you know, spewing misinformation, confusing people, and trying to gin up his supporters to go out and, you know, continue to kind of attack the polls. In this case, you know, places where mail-in ballots are being counted. So, yeah, it's a real threat to the functioning of democracy in America. And what I argue in my piece is that people need to be in the streets in masses to fight for the continuing functioning of democracy in general, and for, you know, the votes to be counted in the case of this recent election in the U.S.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk with you about before we get into all that, and we will get into it, I think it's actually some of the stuff that you spoke to, but I think people really need to hear this a little bit more because, you know, look, basically, you say that Trump's been open about his plan to steal the election. And he says that basically any election that he doesn't win is rigged and illegitimate. You know, and there's sort of a whole pattern that there's a way of presenting things that Trump has been very, very careful about, which in basically saying that he is the person who is getting messed over. He's the person who is actually has the right to be in a, you know, in the situation that we're talking about now in terms of ruling the society, in terms of, you know, basically whether or not, you know, and he's talking now about maintaining his position as, you know, the president and the Fuhrer of the U.S. You know, basically that's what he's actually getting to. And he's used all of this to lay the groundwork for actually stealing the election, because it's not just what he's doing and how it goes out into the world, but he actually has plans, you know, to steal this election. And you started to hint at that. I want to talk about that a little bit, because it's really, you know, he's mobilizing all kinds of forces, and who are these forces? What are they doing? Where, you know, and what's the danger here?
Sure. Well, you know, I guess the kind of longer context of this, the longer historical context of this, is the way in which Trump mobilizes white feelings of vulnerability and anger over the situation in America. And, you know, of course, Trump is an extremely wealthy man, and over the last 4 years, he's been the president of the United States. So, you know, the irony is particularly rich that someone like him would be constantly going on about being victimized and, you know, having other people steal the election from him, et cetera, et cetera. But what he taps into is a very real feeling among a significant segment of the white population in the United States that they're having their just rights stolen from them. And, you know, this has to do with the ways in which historically America was an apartheid society, that, you know, people of color were oppressed and white people benefited from that. But over the last 50 years or so, of course, you know, some of the basic elements of American society and the welfare state in America have been dismantled. And that welfare state disproportionately benefited white people, right? And so, you know, as jobs have been sent abroad, and as other elements of the welfare state have been cut back, you know, as the tax burden has shifted from richer people to the middle classes. There's been a lot of white anger and feelings of vulnerability about that. And I think Trump really taps into that, and it helps explain the appeal of him as a candidate. It helps explain how he managed to his arguments about being a victim, even when he was in the presidency, resonated with a significant portion of the populace in America, and, you know, why he's going to be a continuing threat, and his followers are going to be a continuing threat, even if we manage to oust him from the White House. So what is he doing right now? Well, he's continuing to recycle all of these ideas about being a victim, and, of course, as the Electoral College tally mounts up and Biden looks more and more like he's going to win it, those kinds of arguments about victimization can resonate even more, right? So, you know, what is Trump doing? Well, he's getting out there and spreading, you know, lies about how the mail-in ballots are fake. He's encouraging people to go to certain states where mail-in ballots are being counted, like Michigan, and try and shut down the process when it's in favor of Biden. And he's encouraging followers to go to other polling stations where ballots are being counted and demand that more counting be done and faster counting being done. And this is in a place like Arizona. And then, of course, in addition to that, he's mounting all kinds of legal challenges to the process to, you know, require recounting of ballots, shutting down of ballot counting, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, he's got a really vast arsenal that he's mobilizing, both legal and extra-legal. But it's grounded, I think, and it resonates with really scary proportions of the white population in the United States in these feelings of vulnerability and victimization.
Well, you know, one of the things that actually you've brought up, and I was thinking about a lot, actually, as I was reading it, the things that you've written, you know, Trump's preparing for a major action to seal his control over the U.S., and you point out that there's been very little preparation by anyone in the country to stop him. You know, and I think that's really important because it's not just a question of, you know, this wacky moron that's out there and he's just, you know, peddling what he can get and grabbing what he can get. He actually has a program that is a very deadly program. And as you point out later, there's big questions facing the people, you know, in terms of, one, what the hell do we do, that we need a plan B? But it's also, there's something else that's going on. You make the point that that he's actually laying down an advanced preparation for a coup. And it's vital and imperative that we understand that, because this is a whole battle that he's getting ready to wage.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, what I argue in the piece is that we need to mobilize people and get people into the streets to, that's really the means to stop Trump's coup plans. And I wrote the piece, you know, about 3 weeks ago. So what we've seen since the election, actually, has been some mobilization. I think we need much more, and we need to be out there every single day in much bigger numbers. What I argued in the piece is that we should be drawing on the massive anti-racist mobilizations that happened in the summer by Black Lives Matter and, you know, all the allies in the streets. But, of course, you know, those mobilizations were met with devastating force by police departments around the country, and Trump and his minions tried to attack those peaceful protests by calling them anarchist and anti-American and, you know, all sorts of other horrible things. So I really felt when I wrote the piece that there hadn't been enough discussion about getting people actually into the streets to stop a coup. Because if you look at other examples in history in other countries, the way in which efforts by dictators to bring about a coup has been successfully shut down is through massive nonviolent action by people in the streets. You know, the historical record shows that that's what really works. And so I was trying to argue that we need to be doing more preparation to do that. And there is great stuff happening at the moment. You know, a Protect the Vote, for instance, and other allied organizations and sectors of the labor movement have been out in the streets in the last couple of days. And I know that tomorrow, Saturday, there are big mobilizations called for across the country. So I would really urge everyone to do their best to turn out for those things, because this ain't over until, you know, it's really over. And even when the Electoral College vote count is sealed, You know, Trump is still going to be in power for another 3 months. And what he does and what Biden does when and if he becomes president will, again, depend a lot on how we push them as members of the populace demanding democracy and fighting against fascism.
Well, you know, one thing that you wrote which really struck me, too, is you talked about the developing a pledge of resistance and laying out, you started to talk about laying out what to do if Trump refuses to leave office. And you're talking about that a little bit now, but I'd like to dig into that a little bit more because there is something here about people needing to come together. You know, there's a whole question of the possibility of Trump just saying, screw you, I'm staying, you tough luck. And but it's not just sort of for his personal, you know, aggrandizement. He's actually talking about this is a man who basically, you'd have to say, if you're going to look at what his political thinking is, basically this is a fascist who's decided that he has to take control and of the U.S. and he's got powerful forces behind him, and he's actually standing up and saying, you know, tough luck, I don't care what you say, I've got my plan and I'm going through with it. This is something that not enough people see and not enough people know how to actually respond to this. You know, that the, you know, even in terms of whether there's, you know, where are the strikes, where are the demonstrations that are happening in mass? You know, we really need to get some kind of, people need to understand what the reality is. And I think it's really captured in this point about, you know, he's basically saying, I'm here to stay and I'm getting here any way I can and I've done it and get out of my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the idea of a pledge is a useful one, and that, you know, since I wrote that piece, I've heard about a number of organizations that have been circulating this kind of a pledge. My idea in writing that was that it helps for people to understand what the stakes are, you know, to put their names down, and particularly for people who have a kind of prominent public role, to say that they are going to take up a public stance and get out into the streets to oppose what, as you just said, Michael, really is fascism. You know, it's a whole set of interlocking ideas linked to patriarchy, homophobia, sexism, and of course racism that come from and that benefit an elite, right? You know, Trump is part of the 1%, but there's a long history of elites using scapegoating of various different kinds to split the people and pit them against one another so that they can't engage in any kind of redistribution. And that's definitely what Trump is doing, you know. He's done that throughout the time that he's been in power. It explains his rise to power, and he's going to continue to do that. So we need to name what that is. We need to say it's a homegrown version of fascism, and this we get out into the streets and put our bodies on the line, you know, in nonviolent ways to resist it. It's only going to get worse in America.
Yeah, and we're getting on that time period where we have to run around and get out of here. But there's basically, I wanted to actually speak to one other thing with you because it follows right off of that. You talked about, in the stuff that you've written, you've talked about developing a pledge of resistance that lays out what to do if Trump refuses to leave office. And I think it's really important that people understand that this is not a question of just turning your back and waiting for the next round of elections. This is not, you know, this is not the thing of just sort of, well, we'll, you know, we'll do this. We'll ride along and bear it out and we'll come out okay. You know, this is actually a fascist who's preparing to lay down a fascist rule. And I think people do not understand that very deeply, and they don't understand what needs to be done. And there's, you know, there's this whole question, I think you've talked about developing a pledge of resistance that lays out what to do if Trump refuses to leave office. All of these things that are very important for people to understand, particularly as they are situated in the need, the necessity for people to actually stand up and go up and basically dig into these Nazis and to say, no, Trump, your band of Nazis, we're throwing you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some of the other things that I talked about, we've talked about the need for mass nonviolent resistance in quite a lot of detail, but some of the other things I talked about is the possibility that really kind of key sectors of the working class could withdraw their labor, you know, in other words, engage in a kind of strike. I talk about government workers, but, you know, also people involved in transportation. We've already seen teachers over the last year or so engaged in a lot of militant activity. So, you know, if Trump tries to stay in power, there needs to be a kind of mass strike, you know. real effort to shut down American society and say we will continue with business as usual. And then the other thing that I mentioned is if Trump does refuse to go, that the rest of the world needs to put in place some kind of bans on the United States, some kind of economic embargo, the same way that the countries of the world embargoed apartheid South Africa. Because this election and what happens in the United States isn't just about the U.S., of course. You know, the U.S. is the center of global empire. And what, you know, if Trump manages to consolidate his fascist rule, then it's going to really damage the rest of the world. Just thinking about the fact that this Wednesday the U.S. officially withdrew from the Paris Accords, you know, the climate treaty is a perfect example of that. So, yeah, our whole suite of things that could be done. But right now, the main thing that folks need to do is, as I said, demonstrate in the streets to say the vote must be respected and counted fully.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ashley, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Michael. It's been great to talk to you.
You too, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. All right. Just I want to actually remind people of this because it's really important what Ashley was talking about there and what's happening in society at large, right? This is the situation, folks. These are the stakes. Trump is determined and has a strategy to stay in power and hammer into place his fascist program, murderously enforcing injustice, crushing basic rights and liberties, accelerating the destruction of the environment, and heightening the danger of nuclear annihilation, no matter how people vote. Trump is already stealing the election. He has a plan in place to use key institutions, including the Supreme Court and violent thugs in and out of uniform, to keep his regime in power. Sisters and brothers, this is something we cannot just capitulate to, that we cannot just turn around and pretend we don't know about it. Sisters and brothers, if you've never thought of standing up for rights and for people, for other people, people all over the world and people right here, you need to do it now. You need to do it now because this is not a game. This is not something that, you know, is going to disappear just because we close our eyes or something. This is reality. Fascists are coming into power. Fascists are in power right now. We don't know what's going to happen in the aftermath of all this stuff that's going on. But we do know that people need to stand up against this. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back. So stay tuned. As it is to let that go down, we got to do it. We got a great show for you waiting to come out. And I'll tell you right now, you can go and get a copy of it. It's Christo Fascist featuring Wayne Kramer. All right. And tons of truth in there. All right. Tons of truth. And I'll have you thinking about it hard for a long, long time. All right. Just now, you know, I think it's really important that people understand what's happening in society right now and all the things that we're up against. You know, there's a whole question of who's doing what to who. And it's really a situation where you have to be on your toes, you have to be looking at what's happening, and you have to be ready to move when necessary. And I think it's really important that people understand all of this right now, because too much gets hidden behind the idea that can't happen here. This is America. That can't happen here. That can't happen to us. We aren't like that. You know what? This system is one of the most ruthless, people-eating system ever to exist in the history of humanity. Don't ever think that it can't do the most heinous things. And here to talk with us about all this today is Carl Dix. Carl, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Michael.
Good. And I should tell people, Carl, You are from the Revolutionary Communist Party, and you also work with Refuse Fascism, right?
Yes, that's true. I'm a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism.
Yeah. So now let's talk about this. You've been out, and as part of that whole scene, you've been out in the streets demonstrating since the elections. And I want to talk with you about a few things related to that. What's at stake?
Okay.
Yeah. What's at stake here now, and what's the situation we face? Because it's sort of an overview I want people to get. Because, you know, look, there's a lot of times where I've been looking at things, and people, too often, I think it's there's a temptation to just sort of like read something and move on. And I think it's incredibly important that people understand what the hell is going on today and why it's so important that they pay attention to it and actually participate.
Yeah, that's really very important, Michael, because right now, okay, votes have been cast and they have almost all been counted, and they are painting a picture of Trump having lost an election. But we have to be clear that what Trump was involved in doing was stealing an election. He's been doing it for months. He continued to do it right up through and after Election Day, and he is not quitting. He is going forward with it. Now, why do I say he was stealing an election? Because we can go back months. The way in which he talked about mail-in votes would be the biggest fraud in American history in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, where people were going to that form of voting to not have to put their lives on the line and perhaps catch a very contagious disease that has been lethal for approaching 250,000 people in this country and many more than that worldwide. But he's saying that's fraud. He is casting doubt on the legitimacy of the election, and he's been doing it for months. He had his hand-picked guy who he put in charge of the post office working to disrupt the operation of the post office in order to get in the way of delivering ballots to and from the voters and back, you know, to the polling places where they could be counted. Across the country, where the Republicans had control of state governments, they were blocking people's ability to get ballots, to be able to vote, get them in. They were changing laws even, because the state of Florida had a ballot initiative where the voters in Florida, by a wide margin, gave the ability to vote in elections back to former felons, people who had been in jail convicted of charges after they had served their sentence. They got their right to vote back. The Florida legislature then passed a law saying none of these people could vote until they paid any fines and fees associated with those cases that had gotten them put in jail, which was a steep hill to climb for a lot of these people, but they raised the money to pay these fines and fees. Then the state of Florida said, well, you can't pay the fines and fees because we don't know what they are. We don't know how much you owe. Now listen to this. The state of Florida is saying, we are incompetent. We can't figure out what you owe, even though we were telling you you can't vote until you pay what you owe. People protested that. It got taken to court, and the court endorsed this argument of the incompetency of the state of Florida was reason enough to deny hundreds of thousands of people their right to vote. This is what's been going on, as well as talk about unleashing violence. Then when early voting happened, we saw that that talk was not just talk. Trump forces would go to polling places and then set up a gauntlet that voters had to go through in order to cast their ballots. They did caravans. They forced a Biden-Harris bus. They tried to force a Biden-Harris bus off the road. Their threats of violence actually led to the Democratic Party in what I think was a wrong move, canceling get out the vote rallies because they were afraid Trump people would come and attack them. All of this was going on. And at the same time, they were filing court case after court case, trying to disrupt, limit, and overturn votes that people came in. They tried to get 100,000+ votes in Texas tossed out. This was all going on. Then the vote election day comes up. and the votes come out in a way that gives Trump important leads in some key states, but there's all these mail-in ballots, mail-in votes that had to be counted, and then Trump says, election night, stop counting the votes. Any votes that came by mail should not be counted. Stop the count right now. I won. This is very important to look at because he had done all this campaigning against voting by mail in hopes that he would be ahead on the in-person vote on election day and then try to stop the count and freeze it with him ahead. States persevere. They went through according to, which is what the law says, you count the votes. And as they counted them, Trump's lead in some key states slipped away. And it is getting close to the point where he's officially going to lose this election. He's behind in a number of the key states. But he's not quitting. He's going forward with case after case about why votes should be thrown out, why votes should be counted again, why people's votes should be tossed aside. And as a second level of that, his people are coming out into the streets in caravans and in different ways. In Detroit, they tried to break in to where they were counting the vote. In Phoenix, they tried the same thing to try to stop that. And in Phoenix, they came armed. This is an attempt to steal an election, and it's part of a rolling coup that they have been doing for months. It is not over. People have to see that. And look, I'm out here in the streets in Philadelphia. We rallied starting at 7 a.m. yesterday and came back again this morning because Trump's people had talked about coming down to where the votes are being counted to try to stop that vote count. So we came out in order to, with mass nonviolent action, confront that and not allow it to go down. And right now I had to step back from I guess you'd have to call it a block party because people are celebrating their success in overwhelming the Trump forces politically and nonviolently because we turned out many more people than they did out there in the streets of Philadelphia. But it has to be grasped that this is only part of what needs to be done. Now we have to stay in the streets. We have to continue to build resistance to this continued attempt to steal the election. Because Trump packed the courts with those fascist judges for a reason, and he even came out and said what it was in the confirmation period for Coney Barrett to get on the Supreme Court. He said, I need her on there because the election may well come up to the Supreme Court, and I need her vote on there. In other words, I'm setting it up so that I can win the only vote that will really matter. Not all those tens of millions of people who cast votes in the election. They don't count, especially if they voted against Trump. The judges he put on the Supreme Court are the votes that he feels should decide the election. This is illegitimate, and it should not, nobody should get confused if there's an institution like the Supreme Court or some other institution, because they also have ways that they want to go through state legislators or through Congress to try to get the results of the election overturned. No one should be confused and allow the fact that they use whatever institution of the state backed up by mobilizing their forces in the street, threatening violence and carrying out violence. Nobody should be confused that this legitimizes the theft of an election. And no, people need to not be cowed into submission by threats of violence or even actual violence, because we have to see that if they get away with stealing this election, there will be greater horrors to come in its aftermath. Sorry for the length of that, but I just wanted to try to create an overall picture.
Yeah, we're not going to have any trouble with length, man, because I really want to dig into this thing. Before we get back into things, I want to remind people that you're listening to the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Carl Dix. And Carl is representing both, well, Carl is actually working with and representing Refuse Fascism, and he's also working with the Revolutionary Communist Party. Now, Carl, let's talk about this a little bit more, because part of the thing that's happening here when you're talking about this, I kept thinking, all right, there's a lot that's going on that we really need to understand about what's at stake here. You know, the strategy to stay in power that you're talking about, that Trump has used and solidified and hammered into place his own fascist program using all that. But also the question of the Democrats, because, you know, it is something that we have to pay attention to. The Democrats, what is going on there? And how should people look at this? Because I think if I'm correct in my assessment of this, it's actually, you know, I do know that the people have been talking about, especially with Refuse Fascism, people have been talking about, look, there's a need to, on the one hand, work with people who are Democrats, but there's also a need to understand that it's not enough to just do that. And this is what's being posed are things, are life and death questions that are in the hands of these Nazis. And how are we going to stand with that? And what are we going to do around that?
Yeah, see, this is an important question. And look, I'll just speak to it from the particular thing of being out in the streets here in Philadelphia. And we've been doing our, Refuse Fascism has been doing its own protest, but at the same time, it's gone to protests called by forces, you know, union forces, called by religious forces, other forces, some of them tied into the Democratic Party. And look, a lot of people are saying count the votes, and we're with that. Yes, count the votes, because the votes were clearly indicating that a whole lot of people wanted to see Trump gone and acted on that by going through the balloting procedure, either in the early voting, absentee voting, or showing up in person, even where there were obstacles in that, because it was not an accident that in states like Pennsylvania, like Georgia, like Kentucky, like Texas, and many others, you would see long, long lines in Black or Latino areas where people had to wait 4, 5, 10, 11, 12, 13 hours to cast a vote. But in those same states, you could go to a white area in what they, I guess they call it the exurbs, way out from the cities, and people would be like tweeting like, I voted today and I was in and out in 15, 20 minutes. That was not accidental. Polling places were being closed, being moved in order to make it harder for people to vote. But people voted like their lives depended on it, which was true, they did. But you also have to see that this is happening in a bigger context, in a context where one side, the Republican side, is not only trying to make it hard for you to vote, they have plans to steal the election. And your response to that has to encompass that. So you got to vote, but you also have to defend the vote, and you have to build the resistance necessary to stop a theft of the election and a rolling coup that will give a fascist regime 4 more years on the White House. And here's where the problem comes in, because people who want to see Trump stopped, I mean, they're being told, be calm, be patient, okay? And that is not what we need to do. You know, we don't need to run out and act crazy. We should be in the streets in nonviolent resistance. But we do have to be tense and looking at the fact that there's a plan to steal this election, which doesn't stop once all the votes are counted. So we should demand and fight for the votes being counted, but also be making people broadly aware that there is a bigger plan in motion to steal the election, be exposing that and making preparations to deal with it. And that's where you can run into the short-sightedness and short-sightedness with a strategy behind it of, you know, because the thing I said about be calm, be patient, that was Biden's advice to people. Just wait, let them count the vote, nothing to get upset about. And even assuring people that if Trump loses, there'll be no problem getting him out of the White House, even if he doesn't want to go. As he's making very clear, Trump is, he has no intentions of leaving the White House and carrying out a plan to keep that from happening. And what this really reflects is that, look, the Democrats want to stop Trump as well. They want to get him out of there. And it's not just a partisan opposition that we want our party in and his out. They actually have very real reason to fear what Trump represents, because his talk about lock them up, applying that to Joe Biden, to Hillary Clinton, to Barack Obama, to the governor of Michigan, to other people, is a very real thing, and it is something that people need to take to heart. And that's something the Democrats would not want to see happen. But at the same time, they don't want to win this election based upon the people who have suffered these horrors and borne the brunt of them the most being energized and mobilized. Because then they will go forward and say, we meant it when we said, no more murder of black people by police, no more white supremacy, no fascist Supreme Court. A woman should have the right to control her own body and choose to have an abortion or have access to birth control. No more immigrants' children torn from their parents' arms. No more immigrants in concentration camps on the border. No more Muslims. All of these things, people, if they get mobilized and energized around and brought into fighting to stop this regime on the basis of wanting to stop all of the horrors, those horrors are built into the framework of the capitalist imperialist system. And some of them are horrors that Democrats, including some of the particular Democrats who will end up in positions of power, have presided over and will need to have continued. The Democrats are not going to stop the police from brutalizing and murdering people. This is something we know from history, because when Obama came in, it got elected in 2008, I remember being told by a lot of people that, well, Carl, I'm glad you did that work around mass incarceration and police terror, but we don't have to worry about that anymore because we now have a black president. He's going to stop this. He was? Did he? No, he did not. It continued, and it continued because it wasn't tied to the personality or the personal quirks of particular leading politicians, but it was a system enforcing terror and mass incarceration to control people that it hated and feared and for whom it had no future. And that's not going to change if we get rid of the Trump-Pence regime. We still need to get rid of that regime. And if you're driven by a hatred of police terror, mass incarceration, and white supremacy, you definitely want to get rid of the white supremacist in chief who's in the White House, but that doesn't settle the question. You got to keep go forward. You got to keep struggling, and we have to continue that resistance. The Democrats don't want the people who want to see those things change, mobilized and energized and acting, because they have to keep the system in effect as well, even though their approach to it is not the fascist approach of Trump. You know, because that's the thing that some people misunderstand. They say when you're talking about fascism, well, you must mean police brutality. There is police brutality under fascism, but that is, it's not characterized by that. Fascism is a whole different form of rule where the talk about inclusion and even the existence of rights to protest get closed down and shut up. But that doesn't mean non-fascist capitalist imperialism doesn't carry with it attacks on the masses. It has historically and will continue, but fascism takes that into a whole different game. It's on a whole other level, and the ability to stand up and resist and fight for change gets closed down by a fascist regime. We can't allow that to happen, and we got to carry forward the fight to stop this fascist regime because it's not over. They're trying to steal the election. But once you stop that fascist regime, this fight against this injustice still needs to go on. And the Democrats don't want to see the people who want to fight this injustice mobilized and energized. They want them calmed down and looking to them as the one setting the term. We can't allow that. That's another thing. We're out there in the streets for this. And it does come down to different programs for going forward in the immediate. Do we need to stay in the streets? Yes, we do need to stay in the streets. Do we need to bring massive numbers of people into the streets? Yes, we do. And we need to be, in the course of doing that, bringing out to people. And this thing that you said when you were talking with Ashley Dawson in the previous segment about people who say it can't happen here, this is really too widely held. I mean, I was out at a transit hub in West Philadelphia, I believe, and the mostly black people who were going by were really with us on the Trump Pence out now slogan, and they were showing a lot of them, hey, I got my voted sticker. I voted against Trump. I voted for Biden. And we said, that's good. That's the first part. But what are we going to do about Trump stealing the election, even if he gets beat through the vote count? And a lot of them were apprehensive about that. But at the same time, they were like, well, vote stealing, doesn't that happen in those other countries, in those poor countries? That doesn't happen in America. Those things don't happen. You have an election, you cast the votes, they get counted, and whoever wins gets into the office. And we had to bring out to people that is not a given. That is something that is being fought over very viciously, and that we have a role in it. And those are points and terms that we have been working to put out there before people and to get people to take up and act on. And it's not going to start with the millions of people. It's going to start with relatively small forces. But those small forces do have to go out and act in order to change the terms of things and inspire and challenge others to join in.
Mm-hmm. All right, Cope, I have to let people know that you're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Carl Dix. And we're talking about what the hell is going on with the state of the country and how that's going to impact not just people here, but the entire world, all right? Because when you're talking about a monster like this country and what's going on, it has a hell of a lot of impact and terrible, terrible things forced down on people who live in terrible poverty and whatever, you know. This is a monster. And Carl, as I'm listening, I'm saying that because as I'm listening to you talk, you know, there's actually this whole point about Trump determining that that he has a strategy to stay in power, and he's eager to hammer his fascist program into place. You know, it's not a question of him looking to just like for the hell of it to do this. He actually has a fascist program. You'd listen to his son who's talking about he wants people to get in there. He's called for total war. All of these things that are happening that people don't actually necessarily see on a regular basis. And so it's something that's really hard for them to grasp. But when they start to look at this, you realize you can't play a waiting game. You can't depend on the system to come up and help you. You actually have to understand what's going on and what it's going to take to stop this. Or the alternative is the entire planet blows up. So let's talk about that. We have about 12 minutes left, or a little bit less, maybe 9 minutes. Let's talk about that and what you see as the solution for things right now, what people should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, the solution and what people need to be doing right now is coming into the streets in massive numbers. They need to actually see what's at stake. And your point about the whole planet being blown up, that is an important front of the fascist agenda. You know, they are dismantling the half steps and not nearly enough that was being done to, you know, stop the devastation of the environment of the very planet that we live on. They're actually escalating the devastation of that environment, as well as unleashing further white supremacy, male supremacist women hating, attacks on immigrants, all of that. That's what we face if we fail to stop them. And that is why you need to get out in the street. You need to connect with Refuse Fascism on this. And you can do that by going to the website, refusefascism.org. I also want to bring in that there is a pledge to resist that Refuse Fascism has issued, because I recall you and Ashley Dawson were talking about that. And that pledge to resist does actually make a moral call for it. It lays out what's right and what's wrong, and the stand that people need to take to act to stop the injustice that's coming down, and the stakes, how significant, how serious things are at this point. And part of the reason I wanted to mention this ad or this pledge is because it was Refuse Fascism attempted to place it as an ad in the New York Times, and the New York Times just refused to publish it today, expressing that the ad acts to incite people more, and it overrides accuracy in doing that. And the accuracy point comes down to the fact that the ad says at the end, we refuse to accept a fascist America. There is nothing inaccurate about this. Hundreds of people have signed an ad stating their determination that they don't want to accept a fascist America. And we can debate with the New York Times and others whether or not this is a fascist America, but the ad doesn't say that. It says the signers of the pledge refuse to accept a fascist America. And as far as inciting people to act, it raises the need for people to engage in nonviolent resistance in opposition to a regime that is imperiling the people of the world and the earth itself. That was the call to act that the New York Times found to be too much at this point. And we're going to be publicizing the fact that the New York Times refused to publish it. And some of the signers actually did a video of this pledge that included people like Cornel West, Arturo Farrell, Jody Sweeten, forgetting some of the other people. That's why I don't like to get into this name thing. But there were a lot of people a number of very significant people who did a video of this and wanted this to get out to reach as many people as possible. And the Times is blocking that by refusing to publish this ad. We're going to call this out because people need to know about that. Again, go to the website, refusefascism.org, find out about the pledge, the fact that it was aimed to be published in the New York Times, and find out how you can enlist in the effort to call out the refusal of the New York Times to publish it and to help make sure that it does get out. This is an important thing that people need to do. People also need to dig very deeply into the nature of fascism to come to understand, you know, what it is, how it developed, what form it takes, and how it takes a different form in this country than some of the historical examples like Nazi Germany. You know, because fascism with an American flavor will wrap itself in the white supremacy that America's already always been founded on. It will grab the Bible, and it will grab the flag, and the Trump-Pence regime is doing all of that. One of the things that it has to barrel through is the question of basic rights for people. One way that that concentrates up is the right to choose leaders, but also the right to stand up and protest against injustice. And you can see not only the theft of the election, but also the way in which they have gone after protesters, the way that they have talked about Black Lives Matter. Trump calls that a hate message. The Black Lives Matter protesters are people who are responsible for violence, terror, chaos, and anarchy. This is fascism, people. And you really need to find out deeply what it is. You can find that out on the refusefascism.org website. You also, though, you got to go to the website revcom.us. You got to check out the writings of Bob Avakian, the architect of a new communism, a new framework for human emancipation, and the leader of a movement for an actual revolution in this country, which is what we need. He's done some of the best writing on fascism, and you need to check it out, both historically in general, but also taking on the topical questions. You know, articles about Ice Cube and Kanye West and what's wrong with the stances that they've taken. I mean, he's on the money. Donald Trump, he's got a series, Donald Trump is a Genocidal Racist. You got to check this out. Go to the website revcom.us to do that and dig into it and learn about the movement for an actual revolution that Bob Avakian and the Revolutionary Communist Party are leading. And the main thing you got to do right now is you got to join us in the streets, because I'm going to go back out in the streets here in Philadelphia. One thing I have to do is I have to get a cheesesteak and spill a little bit for the sisters and brothers who can't get back to Philly to get an authentic cheesesteak. They know who they are.
I'm crying, man.
I'm going to go back out in the streets, and you got to join us in the streets. Be out there Wednesday. Go to the big protests that are being planned. And go to them with a message of, okay, we have had some success through this current stage of the voting, getting it counted, and electorally defeating Trump. But Trump is stealing the election. He wasn't just trying to get the most votes. He was trying to get in position to carry out and carry forward a theft of the election. And we have to stay in the streets in order to take that on and to stop that. We have to stop the court cases that him getting away with court cases that overturn the election. But we also have to stop the level of him getting his MAGA thugs and goons, his Proud Boys and other white supremacist forces who he told to stand by. Well, he's calling them off of standby and getting them into the field. And we have to say, no, we're not going to stand back and allow you to dominate the streets.
All right, Carl, we're going to have to wrap this up real quick.
I tend to meet the people saying Trump pits out now. Okay.
All right, Carl, thank you very much. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope. All right.
Okay, well, I'm available.
All right, good. And I am too, so I'll be talking to you. All right.
Okay.
All right, Carl, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye now. You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we've been talking to Carl Dix.
Now, as we go out, I want to share some good news. The New York Times reversed its decision and published the pledge to all the people of the world from Refuse Fascism. It was designed by Shepard Fairey and looks powerful. Share it with everyone. And remember, there will be a nationwide mass protest Saturday, November 14th. Find an action in your area at refusefascism.org. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
And we're going to go out now very appropriately with Troubled Times by Green Day. Troubled times. We live in troubled times.